Another problem with locking on is some people lock on forever and ever. You ever been at a company went like this? We've been doing it this way since I've been here. My daddy did it this way, and his daddy did it this way before him. Yeah, release the old lady. That's a command. Please, let the old lady go. And stick with me on this. Lock on forever and ever. I met some handicappers in Vegas this last time. So, well, you young boy, what do you know? I've been handicapped for 60 years. Well, my contention is, hey, have you been handicapped for 60 years? Or have you been handicapped for 6 months? Over and over and over again, 120 times. Because if you've been handicapped for 60 years or for whatever, you should be a lot further along. I mean, I didn't say that to him, but that's what I was thinking.
I did.
Right. Not until I get the beard. So we build a blind spot to opposite beliefs. Okay? This might sound a little bit difficult to believe as a theory, but here's the way it goes. You have all these beliefs about the way the world should be, and anything that's opposite of that is going to hurt you and make you upset. So, you sometimes might just, don't worry, I'll blind it out for you. I'll make it disappear. You ever lost your keys and then proceeded to lose your mind? You look for your keys and you look for your guys. Where are they? I know I left them right here. You walk around the house going, I can't find my keys. Which, of course, comes yourself down to mind. I can't find my keys. It says, okay, well, you look crazy, you found them, so I'll make sure you look at them 4 or 5 times and you don't see them. And then when you find them, are you happy or are you mad? Oh, you're mad as hell. Damn! They were here all the time. Who put them here? Well, you probably did. Why are you unhappy? You reached your goal to find your keys. It's different than your picture. So write this down. And if you learn only one thing today, learn this. You don't necessarily get what you want. But if you try sometimes, no, that's not it. I'm going to carry away there with the equations that Michael showed last night. You don't necessarily get what you want. You get what you picture. What you visualize. What you see in your mind. What you think about. You don't necessarily get what you want. You get what you picture. So the caveat here. Do you like that, Michael? The warning is, beware of what you picture. Picture what you want. Because you're probably going to get it. You ever worried about something a lot and sure nothing happened? What is worry? Worry.
Negative expectation.
Exactly. Negative goal setting. When you're visualizing something you don't want, you visualize something you don't want, see, you're drawn toward what you think about. Think back to maybe when you're a kid, you're learning how to ride your bike, and you see a rock in the road, you just learned how to ride, you're not that expert at it yet. You see the rock on the road, you don't want to hit the rock, but you're scared of the rock. And you drive a little more, and you don't want to hit the rock, you're going to go downhill. What do you end up hitting? The rock. Now, I'm not suggesting Pollyanna positive thinking to be riding your bicycle and say, oh, there's no rock in the road. You're going to run into it the same way. It's, oh my, there's a rock in the road. That's not where I want to go. Where do I want to go? Visualize it. Oh, around. And you visualize, and you go around. So be careful of what you visualize. I'm going to give you another test. I just feel nasty this morning. Turn the page and you'll find a card that says, right here on the box, many beliefs are inaccurate. GI equals GO. That's garbage in equals garbage out. Computer ease. Your prior conditioning may be faulty. Read that card there. Once again, if you've seen it before, keep it yourself. Read it one time quickly and then look up and hear it at me. This is an Evelyn Wood test, so let me see how long it takes you. You can one time and look up here at me. You got it? Okay. Turn it face down, please. If you've seen this before, please keep it to yourself. Anyone here seen that card before? One person? Really? Two?
Couple.
Just a normal sentence, right? What I wanted to do is give you a little perception test. I want you to turn the page over just a moment when I ask you to. And I want you to count number of letters F that you find on that little card. Okay, so turn it over. Read it one time quickly, just like you normally would, and count the number F that you find, and then look right up here at me if you want. One time quickly, get the number, and then look right up here at me. You got it? Okay, everyone have it? Now the neat thing about doing your own printing is besides not getting your picture on the cover with everyone else, and sometimes you have some problems and you don't catch them in time. I have to admit to you, there's several different versions of this out there, and I need to check and see which one you got. Who got the one with the 3S on it? Raise your hand. Well, there should have been more. 3S, raise your hand. Raise your hand high. Okay, yeah, that looks like it. Okay. Anyone get one with a 1S only? 2? 2S? Okay. 3? Where do you got it? 4. Anyone with 4? Oh, quality control. 5? 6? 7?
Wow, this is strange. I know who the winners are.
Actually, this is a really interesting test. The technically better reader you are, the more likely it is you're going to fail this test. I had 3 weeks on this one, too. Okay, here's the end. Stop reading if you would. The point is that the premise that I started out with is that we do not act in accordance with the truth, but instead we act in accordance with the truth as we believe it, or perceive it, or know it, or expect it to be. Who has 3S? Okay, let me see. You have 7S on your card. Right. That one has 7. No. This is the one we're looking at right here. And you see 3?
I didn't see 3.
You didn't see 3 over here. Oh, no. We're talking about this one here. The one that says finished file as a result of blah, 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 blah. Who else has 3? You have 3 on yours? Okay. Believe me. Trust me. I'm in front of the room. I must know what I'm talking about. You have more than 3S on your card. Listen carefully. What I'd like you to do is just one more time, real quickly, check it. And then see what you have, and then look right back up here.
Hey, wait a minute. You said the card. Now, there are two potentialities to which I've got the card. I took the outside board.
Okay, sorry. It's okay. Oh, I got your question right here. And you're forgiven, and so am I. What I mean is this one right here, finish on. That's the one you're looking at. Okay? So just read that one time, quickly, and see what
you have. With the arrow pointing to it. That's a hint.
It's okay. Language is inherently ambiguous, and I realize that. So, everyone knows that how many S they have on their card. So, if you have 3, just raise your hand for a second, if you would. Okay. What would it take for me to convince you that there's more than 3 S on your card? I'd have to show you, right, exactly. Now, pretend that you were getting set up here in a seminar, and we were just sitting here talking, and I said, gee, how many S do you see here? You would tell me, Dan, I know that I've got 3. Would you be willing to bet me $5 in the answer? Probably. If you didn't smell some sort of setup, you would say, you bet. Who would be willing to bet me that they only have 3S on their card? Anyone high self-esteem in here willing to bet in the face of adversity? You will? Thank you very much. Because you know, right? You know what an F looks like. You've been around. There's only 3 there. Okay, who has 7? Oh, see, they're growing. Someone, if you have 7, find somebody with 3 and change cards. The person with 7, exchange with the person with 3.
I want to see their money first.
You have 7 then?
This time I do. I had 3.
You had 3 before? Okay, let me give you a hand here.
We should do it quick.
Right. We act, we live, we handicap, we look at the form, not in light of the truth, but the truth as we believe it to be. Real quickly, what I want you to do is look at your card and count the number of ofs that you find on that card. Of. On the card. Of.
The card.
The card. You know, the F, that's a little card there. It's a statement.
The one with the arrow pointing to it.
Thanks, Scott. Anybody see anything new when they look at the ofs?
Yeah.
What happened? You found the other F. How many Fs are on your card? Anybody still see 3? What a bunch of dummies. Okay, now, stay with me, if you would, please, because there's a very important point to be made here. If you just put that away, you can use that in the bar later to win also for $3,000. Really. But I want you to realize it's more than just a little trick. Why was that hard for you to see? Anyone have any idea?
Yes.
What?
Because you associate F with F as opposed to V.
Right, exactly. Your conditioning, your prior conditioning. Being taught how to read phonetically the sound words out. When you go OF, when you see OF, you do OV, of. So you build a blind spot to it, a scotoma, a sensory locking out of the environment where you look right at it and not see it. Isn't that interesting? Where are you leaving out some S in the raisin one? Yeah, I looked at it. I know it. I've been doing this for 60 years. My daddy did it before me. I know a sprinter. Look right at it, but didn't see it. Was it because you're stupid? No. And this is a very important point that I really haven't touched on yet. Is anyone here of the belief that there's something special and weird about, say, Jimmy Bradshaw? I mean that in a nice way, Jimmy. Is there anything kind of special and unique and gifted about Doc Sartin? Tell me the truth. Yes? No? Is there anything special and gifted and unique? Well, let's really stretch the truth there. Dick Schmidt?
Yeah, get that.
Dick makes really is one of the top runners in Perco. So is there something special and different about Dick than what you possess?
Hey,
is there something special and different about what Jimmy possesses? Or Michael? Or any other Perco chart? Or anyone who you know who's doing well? You see, my guess is that you think there is. You look at them a little bit suspect. Something weird about this person. They must have been born with it. And I must have been born without it. To the degree that you hold on to that belief, you will not be able to achieve it. Because you are telling yourself that they are special. I am not special. What will your subconscious do? Make sure that there's always a difference between the two of you. However, if you accept the fact that you're born with infinite potential, and all you need to do is reduce and modify some of these things, then more of that will shine through. So examine your beliefs. Because when you believe one way, you miss what's there. When you know what you're looking for, you miss what's there. When you know there's three F's, you miss what's there. And so here's the problem, and please make this connection. You didn't think there were three F's or whatever. You knew it. And you would have acted in accordance with it. Okay? You knew it to be a fact. The people that used to think that the world was flat, they knew it, man, and they built their ships in accordance with it. You know you deserve so much stuff. You know what kind of lifestyle you deserve, what kind of car you deserve to drive, what kind of clothes you deserve to wear, and you go out and get those kinds. You live in accordance with your beliefs about you and the world in which you live. So examine those beliefs. Where are you leaving out some S? Where might you be missing what's there? Well, I'm going to give you another test. I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. But don't turn the page yet. I've got kind of hammered. Anyone here ever done a psychological? What do they call those conversations? I think they're called Rorschach. Ink blots, you know? The functional animals having sex and you show them. Did they show them to you? I have sort of a Rorschach test here for you on the next page. Don't look at it. What I want to do is see how long it takes you to pick some of these things up. So listen carefully. I'm going to tell you what you should find within the first 30 seconds if you're a healthy human being. You should be able to see a couple of arrows, a side view of a house with a chimney, kind of a half house with a chimney, a thing that looks kind of like a muffler with a cut out of it, a thing that might be construed to be an outhouse. Did you get some of those? Okay, turn the page, and it says, what do you see? And how many can see the arrows? Raise your hand. Great, you're doing good. How many see the half a house? Oh, excellent, we're cooking. How many see the cutout muffler over there on the right? All right, and then see the little kind of outhouse in the middle? You see that? Great, anyone see a word there? What's the word?
Win.
Anyone not see the word win? Anyone not see the word win? We're going to have a follow-up class on self-deception here. How many people do see the word win? Raise your hand. That many. Tremendous. Why didn't you see it right off the bat, you think?
You listen to me.
Exactly. I said, yeah. Well, two things. Actually, what we've done here is we've gone white on white with black spacing. And you're used to reading. You've been conditioned, trained to read black on white with white spacing. So when we go white on white with black spacing, your conditioning doesn't match. Have you ever been in a room at a seminar in Beaumont, maybe, and you see Donald Rohrhammer analyze race, and you go, "Oh my, yeah, I could never do it that fast. I could never do it that well." And you feel stupid. Have you ever felt stupid at one of these seminars? Maybe your conditioning just doesn't match. Because you're not stupid, you have as much potential as Tom Rohan. His conditioning just matches the situation better.
Just don't all of you write a book.
So think about the times, maybe, especially in seminars where you felt like, gee, I just don't get it. Must be something wrong with me. Just realize that it's not your lack of intelligence. It's that your conditioning doesn't match. And be careful what you say to yourself. Because if you say, gee, I could never do that, then you think less of yourself, that's going to affect your self-image, which will, again, affect your performance. So instead, you want to say, I am this good, that level, and go out and become it. The second reason it was difficult is I misled you, intentionally, because I'm that kind of guy. However, you have some people that have been in your life that have misled you. Anyone ever read a book that, when you look back now, wasn't exactly true about Andy Gannon? I was talking to a friend recently. I said, I'm going to come on to a seminar. My partner, as a matter of fact, in self-image psychology. And says, well, you know, handicap is no different than anything else. You know, you find that if you wanted to learn how to be a good baker, you just find someone who knows how to bake a cake and you hang out with them. Same thing about handicap. Find someone who's good and hang out with them. The only difference about handicapping, though, is there's not a lot. I don't know, but I wouldn't suspect there's a lot of books out on 47 different ways, you know, to easily bake a cake that, you know, let you end up with, you know, top lines, which is what most handicapping books are. There's a plethora of bad information out there. Where have you been misguided or misconditioned in the past? And that's just from the experts, by the way. You're also conditioned from your loved ones. Did mama ever say gambling is evil? Did preacher ever say gambling is evil? The problem with the early in life experiences is they're in there. I mean, they're in there solid. You don't often even know it. In fact, a lot of people don't realize they're religious until their horse is coming down the stretch. I'm a devout atheist, swear to God, but I pray to God. Please, God, there's one time.
Thank you, Dave.
Please, God, this is one. So what kind of crap is in there? And you have to realize it, and you've got an emotional attachment to it, even if you don't consciously think about it now. It's in there, and it's making you behave the way that you do behave. So in order to change yourself, here's the answer, by the way. I'm giving you the problem on one. Change the way you talk to yourself. Visualize what you want, okay? And then go talk to yourself about those kinds of things. How are we doing on time, Dr. Lee?
10 minutes, go ahead.
10 more minutes? Okay, I'm going to give you two things here. The normal would cost you $5.95. Today, no additional charge. You see on the last page, there's a goal or notion. Goal setting is vital. We all goal set. As a human being, you're what's known as a teleological being. You move toward and become like that, which you think about. Is there anyone here basically do not goal set or have never goal set? I'm sure there is. Let me talk to you, even though you didn't raise your hand. Your goal set to make it here today because you arrived. Okay? And now your goal set is to get through this damn talk, and then your goal setting to have lunch. And then you're going to goal set to maybe go have a drink. And then you're going to goal set to do the form. Whenever you visualize, think about anything, and then go and do it, that's goal setting. The reason that most people fail at goals is because they don't get clear. If you've ever taken any goal setting course before, they always say you have to get clear, you have to write your goals down. I mean, why? Anyone have any idea? Why would it be important to write? Is something magical happen when you write your goals down? You suppose?
Yeah.
What is that? What magical happens?
It's black and white.
You internalize it. You visualize it and focus on it.
Right. Those are all very good. You get it clear. You can focus on it now. The problem with your mind is it's a very dynamic thing, and it's not very clear. It's kind of fuzzy. There's all different levels to it, all different kinds of things going on. So in order to get something clear, you have to write it down. Most people are not specific. I did a lot of sales training one time in this course. I asked the salesman, I said, what's your goal? And he told me he wanted to get a beach house. And I said, what beach? He goes, I don't know, one was sand. I asked him what his goal was for the monthly production. He goes, I don't know, my manager knows. No accountability. You have to take accountability for it. You have to be specific. And here's why you have to be specific. Think of everything you have in your life. Is any of it nonspecific? The answer is no. Are you about 200 pounds? Are you about 6 feet tall? Do you drive an about green car? Is it kind of a Mercedes or a Cadillac? Is it 4 or 5 bedrooms? No. It's exactly 4 bedrooms. It's a blue Cadillac. You're 5'11 and 3/4, 197, etc., etc., etc. So things in life come in specifics. So go after things in specifics. A lot of people have goals. They think they're goals. They're actually notions. If you look at notion in the dictionary, you find that it's defined as a vague thought, a whim, an idea. And here's how you can tell the difference between a goal and a notion. Let's just take this chart. If you see here, what I've got here is an example. And money is just a real simple way to relate this. That's why I use it. But, you know, set a goal, you know, in all different areas of your life. Let's say a person had a goal to save $25,000. That's what the 25K is at the top. And we're 12 months into this goal. And he says, hey, I'm wondering if I'm going to achieve it or not. What you do is you just track the performance on the vertical axis. That's the one that goes 0, 5, 10, 15, 25, up straight like that, versus time across the horizontal axis. You see all those little dots? That means like at month 4, you know, he had around $2,000 probably. At month 5, you see he's getting closer, maybe about $3,000. And then what you do is you take this rough pattern and say, if I continue in this same general fashion, where will I end up? And you draw a line, you extrapolate the trend out to your goal time, which is 24 months, 2 years. And how much money is this person going to save? About 10 grand. You see the star there at the top? That's his goal of 25, and that's the goal he tells everybody, and that's the goal he's got pasted on his refrigerator. Then you see that difference there? You see FGMS? That's fairy godmother syndrome. And you've all suffered from it. What's fairy godmother syndrome? Well, I'm heading south. My goal is to go north. Hopefully someday the fairy godmother will come by and twang me, and all of a sudden I'll end up in my destination. Someday everything will be good. Now it's kind of shitty. But someday everything will be good. Twang, please twang me soon. You can't get right means with, or you can't get right ends with wrong means. It just doesn't work that way. The direction in which you're heading now is where you're going to end up. It's that simple. So, look at your own life on the next page. I've given you a blank, results versus time. This will work for any area, but let's use it for handicapping. Let's say your goal is to become 65% proficient, or a certain amount of money. Let's say you wanted to get to the point where you could have $20,000 to quit your job, or whatever. Plot it up, and then extend the trend. It could be the last 3 months, the last 3 years, whatever. So if I continue going the way I'm going, where will I end up? And then you have to ask yourself, is that really where you want to be? If it is, then you're headed in the right direction. If it's not, then you need to accept that feedback and do something different.
Move along to the next tape.